everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than being ignored in front of 70,000 people.
Wow. Yeah, it sure is.
The number to call in, should you choose, while we are live is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you are listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, and go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat, and go. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Pip. Joe should be here soon.
Yeah.
He got out of work at a decent clip, but there was some traffic, so
Joe will be here.
Joe will be here soon, so. Rest assured, you will hear the dulcet toned voice of Mr. Curry yelling at me.
Yeah. We rest assured of that every week.
Well, not every week. He doesn't make every show. He makes most shows.
Yeah, but the yelling. Oh, at you. Yes.
Well, he's just yelling. Sometimes I just happen to be in the crossfire. I mean, it's like a spray of yell.
And you just kind of get hit by the side swipe?
Yeah, sometimes I try to play in the yell, and I don't get out in time, and I take one in the backside.
Ooh.
Yes. Good show tonight. On tonight's show, we'll be talking about the apparent finding of a long-lost Nazi train. And I believe tonight we are going to leap past the line of good taste.
No!
Yes, leap. I feel very strongly that we're getting in the offensive things now while we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so. I mean, because there's certain things that, in the coming future, probably won't be able to do. But this is going to be good. So you're going to want to tune in for that, kids. I feel good about that. And we're gonna wrap a bow on Belinda tonight. Gonna wrap this puppy up.
I can't believe it.
It's been 3 years of radio.
I'm very sad.
Enough's enough.
I might have to take some tissues.
I need a little break from Belinda. I need a. She's been a big part of all of our lives.
Yes.
For so long, but gonna take a little breaky poo. Not really gonna start scamming another scammer and bringing that to the air for a while, because what I want to do is I want to finish up the Ann Jackson next.
Yeah,
I want to start wrapping up some of these things. So if we're not doing scamming scammers, we can devote more attention to the insanity that is Ann, which I feel brings certain elements of scamming scammers into it. I mean, the absurdity of it all.
Oh yeah,
but it's a whole different type of absurdity.
I know. Well, I mean, as soon as you say her name, it's like, yes, absurdity implied.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'm going to try to get to Anne tonight, but I don't know if we will. So, tomorrow, I'm going to be going into the city to shoot what they call a sizzle reel.
Sizzle?
Sizzle reel.
What does that mean exactly?
You put together, like, a really short, like, in this case, it's going to be, like, 3 minutes highlighting some things to, like, sell a television show.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to be doing that tomorrow.
Okay.
So, I got all sorts of things I got to do tomorrow morning in preparation for that. So, it's like I'm taking a brief, because I've been focusing on the radio stuff. Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Joe's here, in case, and I'm not seeing, like, the ghost of Joe, or, yeah, so, why is he saying, hey, Joe? Joe's actually here now.
No, you might be.
It's the ghost of Joe?
Wait, hold on a second. I just squeezed his arm. He's real.
I'm real.
Like a heart attack.
How'd it go getting up here?
Was Rand McNally called me, told me to take the back road.
I know.
Well, it's because Carmen Sandiego called me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm talking about the sizzle reel.
Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, I got to do that. So I'm taking a break from the radio for one day, although I'll probably still make phone calls of some sort.
Okay.
And I'm going to work on that. So we'll see. Got the whole green screen thing.
Do you call my guy, or you got another guy?
Roger is paying for the studio.
Really?
And Roger's making his investment now. So.
All right.
So that's good. So we'll see.
Good.
See what happens. See how I feel about all this next week.
Yeah, we'll hear.
Because I really was going to put the television stuff on the background until I figured out what we were doing with the radio stuff.
Yeah, you strike while the iron's hot. You know, if something's going on, you got to, you know, you go with it.
Well, that's what this is. It's kind of like there was a situation that made me how to address it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did last week, went for a meeting, and now we're doing it this week while we can, because there's a limited window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then back to the radio stuff.
Tom says, hopefully Davin sets himself on fire on camera. That's the sizzle end of it.
He goes all Michael Jackson on us. It's too bad if I'm bad.
No, it's not all Michael Jackson. There'll be no small children involved.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tom gets some good news, which he shares with Pip and I before the show. So you go, you know what, maybe it'll be the kinder, gentler, trucker-less Tom this week. No, first opportunity, complete douchebag. All right, Tom.
Bam! Yeah,
it's good news, but, when it's time to work at the office, you do, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, even when Tom's under the weather, he's still on fire.
Yeah.
And hoping you will be soon.
Yeah, I'm going to pee him out. This crap from you. or you. I
didn't say a word. I just got here. Let me settle in.
Joe's hostility will soon prevail.
You know, you get to work, you don't just start, you know.
Usually you just go right into the nasty.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on the trip up. Yeah, I like that the back roads. It's nice and windy and it's a mountain.
All right, take that from now on. It calms you down.
Yeah, really.
I took the New York Thruway and they said that there was this terrible crash. And so, of course, being an evil human being, I want to see blood, guts, twisted metal. No, nothing. You know what I got to see?
Right.
A little piece of New Jersey license plate.
Nah.
And the shoulder.
I will say, though, I like this dynamic better. The aggravation of traffic has made you raise your game, so you're somewhat with us for a change. And the back road, little detour, which is only a couple of minutes longer, actually mellowed Joe out so he's not a raging douchebag.
Well, as the leader of the show, you have to reroute your co-hosts.
It's taking me a while to figure this out, but...
Give us a triptych.
This is what...
Really?
What are you, my mother calling me up now?
Yes.
You'll get stuck in traffic. You take a lovely lane. Your show will benefit. Yeah. May I'll be waiting.
Yeah, take the road for your temperament.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then this is the way to go from now on. You find traffic. You take a nice country
back. You avoid it.
I'm willing to work with you folks.
Great.
So last week, Joe and I could not get enough of each other. We had to spend more time with each other.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Well, you know, there's only 3+ hours is not always enough for me and Joe to be in each other's company.
I know. Stop holding hands while you're telling this story.
I will not. Why do you say such a hurtful thing? My hands are soft. And everybody knows that.
Are they supple?
They are supple.
Okay. All right.
I do nothing for it. It's called lack of manual labor, and they're divine.
They're divine.
Don't hate me because I'm palm olive soft. So Joe and I went to the AC/DC concert on Wednesday night.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounded good.
It did, but we got to go through this. You know, when I go to a concert, it's not just a concert, it's experience. Everything needs to be broken down.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. I expect the postmortem.
Well, it's not always a postmortem.
No.
First of all, parking. $30 to park.
$30 to park.
Bastards.
And
Joe's awake. So much for the road.
You poked me with a stick.
I didn't do anything. That was MetLife Stadium.
That was MetLife. $30 to park. And they got you. They got you. You cannot go anywhere else. It's like at Nassau Coliseum, it's usually $17 to park.
Right.
And you can tell them to go to hell because there's a hotel like over that you
can park. No, there's places you can park off-site, but you got to take a shuttle. You can.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can.
Because I'm not really that. For this first time I've been there, but $30.
$30. Here's the thing, now. It costs more to park than what Van Halen was selling tickets for when they were playing in Jersey. Because a couple of weeks before the Van Halen show, you could go on Groupon and get tickets for $25 for lawn tour.
And if you want those tickets, jump. Dun, 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 dun. Jump.
Let that sit there.
He was letting it marinate.
Mm. Really wish he wouldn't have even laughed. I hope it was a laugh out of his pain, because that was terrible.
I was just wondering if there were any splinters left in the barrel.
It's a brand new week. It's a brand new barrel, baby. We always get it.
You know, I thought that was going to fly. You
That's the problem.
No.
We all do when it leaves, Joe.
You know, you throw what you can.
Listen, when they designed the Hindenburg, they didn't know it was going to go down in flames. Nobody goes, this is going to end terribly.
By the way, Joel's girl said to you, Devin, back off my man.
Whatever.
Sick him.
Whatever.
Stupid.
I knew him
sick
first.
Stupid.
No,
actually, she knew me long before
you
did.
But she had the good sense to get you out of her life for a while. That's a smart girl right there. He says, enough. You're somebody else's problem for a while. But like a boomerang, you're back.
Lisa says, I have more trouble than I can handle. Joe's off limits.
Look at Lisa just juggling guys left and right.
Yeah. I know. She's a trooper.
Yeah, that's good for Lisa.
Mm. Yeah.
Making a little Bukkake film over there. What? Anyway.
It's a little cold in Canada. She's got to keep warm.
Sure. So the opening band, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this band. I had not. Vintage Trouble.
No.
I have not. However, I got the latest issue. The latest issue of Classic Rock several days after the show.
The latest issue of Classic Rock.
Yes.
You and six other people buying magazines.
Hey, you know what? Great magazine. It really rules. They had an article on those guys. I'm kicking myself that I missed them. They looked, I read the article.
If it makes
like
you feel better, I'll kick you.
They look like a kick-ass band.
Well, they were. Now, they were not advertised at all. They weren't on the ticket. Usually the opening band is on the ticket.
Not always nowadays.
I said usually.
Yeah.
That's what usually means.
Okay.
But, I mean, Queen and Adam Lambert didn't have an opening band. They had Whale Songs, as we went over, which is terrible. But so the leads, this is an L.A.-based band. I did not know that at the time. But the lead singer's from Montclair, New Jersey. So this is a dream come true to him.
What?
Playing
yeah.
MetLife Stadium
yeah.
in Jersey.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's kind of like a bluesy soul rock type of thing.
I like that kind of stuff.
It is. It's not usually my type of thing. But, you know, lead singer was kind of like James Brownie and Otis Redding. Just
nice.
pure energy, good voice and everything.
I heard he was a great front man, really.
He really is a great front man. Yeah. You know, I feel bad for him because he's going, you know, I can't hear you, make some noise, but most of the people are in the parking lot. You're going to have to scream a little louder.
They were making noise out there.
From what I read when he opened up for AC/DC in England, yeah, the AC/DC crowd is a very tough crowd. They want to hear rock, and they want to just see AC/DC, and if you're a rock band, whatever, you have to really kick ass. They're different than a standard rock band, as Davin explained, but they did it.
They've been opening for big acts. I think they opened for The Who and The Stones and everything.
Wow, nice.
These guys are opening for, like, I'd never heard of them.
No.
Which just tells you that, and New York, I've said it before, is the worst for radio, because they don't break anything new
Nothing.
In New York radio.
Music is dead in New York. Live music is dead in New York.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the radio stations.
Even the radio stations, and the catalyst for it, because basically
they
rock,
play the hits.
Yeah, and rock music, at least on Long Island in this area, is dead. My buddy Joe, who plays in the U2 cover band and stuff like that, now they'll play up here, and the attendance will be so-so. They go to Maryland, Florida, all over the country, and the clubs are just packed. So the live music in this area is dead. Rock,
I don't know what
rock
that is.
So he's like jumping around all over the place. He keeps on asking the audience to make some noise. Towards the end, they actually started to respond properly.
Yeah.
As it started to fill in, they started to get with him and everything. He body surfed. When was the last time you saw that at a stadium?
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, this guy's in a full suit, and he's body surfing and everything. Like, they said he sweat through the suit. I didn't see where we were sitting. I didn't see that.
Mm.
But
wow.
That's how hard he was working. And I get the feeling that if the fans knew any of their songs, they'd be more responsive. But I had never heard of this band before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have three albums out. They've been on Letterman. They were on with Leno and everything. These are not an unknown quantity here.
But you know what? I'm finding that music audiences are pretty lazy. If it's not something that they understand or they already know, they tune out. That it has to be familiar. Even if it's a big band and they're playing, say, their new record that just came out and people haven't gotten a chance to get to know the songs, they go in at the bathroom and go get a beer. But they're not sitting in the seats going, hey, this is a band I really like. Let me check out their new stuff.
I think at a concert, your expectations are more instant than they are if you're listening to a music show where they're breaking the new band or a friend recommends them. I think you see them, you're like, you get there, you're looking forward to see the band or a band that you know open up.
I think it depends. I mean, the concert I saw before this was Aerosmith with Slash. So people obviously wanted to hear Slash because Slash is a known thing.
Yeah.
And his new band is a known thing because they've gotten a lot of press and rock things and all. Plus, Slash's music is sort of like Aerosmith's music. It doesn't sound the same, but it's the same type of rock thing.
Yeah.
AC/DC is just hard-driving rock. There's nothing bluesy about it. It's kicking your nuts rock and roll. They're not doing ballads. They're not, you know, Brian Johnson isn't going to impress you with his range. You know what you're getting from AC/DC.
Right.
And this is a different type of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny because if you get experience the different kind of music, it's like, I read that article. Now, if I read that article last week, I'd be so stoked to see these guys.
Right.
You know,
right.
I check them. Oh, those are those guys.
Uh-huh.
And, it's word of mouth. If you hear about this band, you go, oh, holy smoke, it's those guys. Yeah, I'm hanging out. I'm going to watch these guys.
And it's a shame because until somebody has already vetted it and said to you, hey, this is going to be good, most people don't go in with an open mind, but you're a musician, and you were like, well, I don't know.
But it's weird, like, when, you know, like, take the London Choir Boys, okay?
I'd rather not.
Back to Michael Jackson.
They were a decent-sized band in the mid-'80s. And we opened for Race Odyssey. We opened for them last year. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I read a month later. It's always a month later. I read a really decent article about those guys.
Right.
And I'm so pissed because I really didn't hang out to see them.
Yeah.
It was us and two other bands. We were the first band, second band up. And then there was another band after us. And after that, I split. I would have hung out. I would have tried to meet the guy. You know, so sometimes it's like what you read or what you hear. And then when you go see them,
you really
take an interest.
Well, I couldn't really understand what the hell he was singing, but they always do that to the opening band.
Yeah.
They always like butcher the sound so you can't really hear. But I would grab one of their albums.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check them out after, you know.
Vintage Trouble, good band. You can look them up there online. So yeah, as Joe said, he was missing during the opening act. So he's like texting me. He's like, "Oh, are AC/DC on? AC/DC on?" I had a moment here. I'm like, "Well, I could tell him. Well, yeah, they're on right now. They're doing Back in Black." Or I could tell him the truth. I chose not to be a dick for a change. Like, no, it's fine.
What?
Can you imagine? He's like 45 minutes away. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But again, he didn't know that there was an opening band, you assume, but it wasn't on the ticket, so you don't know.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking
about
it.
They never mention it. They never mention it in the ads. They never mention anything.
No.
I know. It's kind of irritating when they don't do that, because then you can't really time
move.
Yourself it.
It's a dick move.
Yeah, it is.
So here's the thing. It was a huge stage. Long catwalk into the audience, mm-hmm. which was only used by Angus once at the very end, by the way.
Oh,
so
that's
complete
lame.
Waste of catwalk.
Yeah.
So you have people standing around the stage, a lot of people standing, and then much further back are seats. So if I on the floor. So if I bought seats on the floor thinking I'm in the front row and I got all these people standing in front of me close to the stage,
yeah.
I'm pissed.
Yeah.
Because I think I bought front row tickets.
Right.
And now I'm not.
Right.
I would be so I don't know
now,
how
they, did they yeah, because did these when the tickets were available, maybe they took that into consideration and only had a certain amount of seats on those rows before the cat, you know, as the catwalk was coming out. You know, like I'm saying, look, let's say you had rows 1 to 30, and because of the catwalk, it was only going to 1 to 15. Maybe they made only 1 to 15.
They could have
no,
they could have put chairs around the catwalk. They could have put chairs around it so people could sit there.
Yeah, but people aren't going to.
And there's no reason to have a catwalk if you're not going to use it.
Yeah.
You know, you could have people closer to the stage then.
That's a real waste of time.
Really
teamer time. Well, Teamster time.
Yes. Those Teamsters, they do it for the love of the game, not the hours they waste getting paid.
Yeah, for what they used. I mean, they used it a little. I think Brian Johnson went out a little bit, and Angus did.
They went to the sides.
Yeah,
they went to the
sides. They went on the catwalk a little bit. But
I didn't see Brian on there. I saw Angus at the end with the little riser.
I think he was, but Angus went out on their end. But for all of that, for, you know, what, Dev, 20 minutes of that whole show?
We'll get there. We'll get to that,
but
20 minutes.
But what I'm saying, but,
oh
but I don't mean that 20, but that 20 minutes of a show.
It wasn't necessary.
Why was it necessary?
It was, and I'm going to, as we get into this, I'm going to explain why it was too much stage for the band. It looked really cool. Don't get me wrong. It looked really cool. It was just too much. And let's get to Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson at age 67. Still moving well.
Wow.
Still moves well. Still sounds good. Although I did say to Joe, he kind of moves like a Red Fox from Sanford and Son. You kind of see him walking around. Would you agree with it?
Yeah, but he's
fine. It's his thing.
He's not a young dude. You know, he's not a young dude. He's a lad from
wherever he's from.
Australia, you know.
Angus, at age 60, running around like a maniac.
Really?
All energy.
Yeah,
all
cool.
Energy from Angus,
yeah.
Cool.
who I said to Joe and I posted on Facebook, looks like from America's Got Talent comedian Chips Cooney.
Yeah,
I didn't know who that was because I don't watch America's Got Talent.
I couldn't stop laughing.
But he did look like that dude.
But the thing about it is, Angus was running around like a mental patient.
Yeah.
Man, 60 years old. Now, the outcome of that is between every song, there had to be a 3 to 4 minute break.
Oh,
I don't know if it was
breath.
That much.
It seemed that way.
All right, we could talk about that. I didn't get there yet, but we could talk about that. I don't. I think Joe's exact. It wasn't 3 to 4 minutes,
but it was.
It was at least because here's what they do, and this is one of my pet peeves. If you guys know, when I review these things, I like a lead singer that acknowledges us.
Yeah,
I like them to let us know that he knows that we're here.
Yes,
you know, that's just what I like, and you know, he really did. Brian Johnson really doesn't do that. There's really no banter, and in that way. It reminds me of Def Leppard, which is another reason why I don't need to see Def Leppard again. I mean, Joe hates Joe Elliott's voice at this point. With me, it doesn't matter. It's just like they don't talk. It's just like they're playing the songs.
Something, one little stage announcements, something.
You know, Joe Elliott would have some interaction.
I don't recall it. I've seen him twice. I don't recall it.
You know, he would talk to the audience and go, "Joe Carey, there's some overpriced stuff, mate, I want you to buy." Okay, Joe, I'm right there.
Well, a sale's a sale. Yeah. So, to get to what Joe was talking about, so after a song, he's not, you know, while the guys are switching guitars or doing whatever they're doing, he's not talking to us. The lights go black. The stage is black. So I would say it was about a minute or so. I don't think it was 3 or 4 minutes.
I would say about 2 minutes. But in the time of that show, it seemed like very long.
After every song.
And I get a funny feeling it's because Angus had to, like, get some oxygen or something like
that. Well, that's what Lisa said. He had to catch his breath.
But even if that's the case, you know, there was room for other things to be happening that you could do during a concert.
Sure.
Where Angus could go off stage for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things you could do, whether it be a drum solo, introduce
the
band.
Yeah, it just seemed like everybody ran like hell for after every song.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or a lot, some bands, if there's a little break, they'll put something up on a video up on the screen, something to
just
the segue. Break up the just, yeah, the
maybe
segue.
Miley Cyrus will change outfits and we can watch her on the screen. Mm. I don't know, anything.
Oh, balloons pop, balloons pop.
She, you know what? She's got the body. You know what? She's got the body of somebody Jared would like. Enough about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Enough
but
about that. Yeah. I mean, I like naked women, but I'm like, put some clothes on.
Little well, girl.
She tries too hard. It's like, we get it.
Yeah, she really does try
too
hard.
We get it.
Yeah.
It's just so forced, and I don't know why anybody would let her host the show, because I've never thought to myself, you know, I wonder what Miley's thinking. I wonder how she would be in the spoken word form. Now, I like some of her music.
Right.
There's songs of hers that I like, and I don't really care that she does all this stuff. But to host the show, not my top choice.
I don't know one of her songs.
I was listening to Eddie Trunk's show last night. Eddie Trunk does the heavy metal show. And he was complaining about the VMAs. He goes, look, I'm 51. I know it's past my prime with that stuff. He goes, but could they just have a new rock band come out? He goes, I'm not expecting UFO to come out and do some. I almost slammed into a pole. I was laughing so hard.
Listen, nobody wants UFO coming out, but Eddie
no,
Trunk.
It was cool. I mean, back in, you know, 78 with Don Kirshner's rock concert. You know, you wanted those. VMAs, do you? We have UFO. These guys.
No, but they're not even having bands like Nickelback or something, or like Linkin Park or whoever.
Well, he was saying
anybody
there was,
who any like rock acts.
OAR, none of those bands.
It's just rap and, you know, like really crappy pop. Ugh.
I don't know if it's crappy. Yeah, you know.
No, it's crappy.
I watched it because, well, I had nothing better to do and I had a Facebook to fill up time. But I mean, I'm not going to sit there and go, all these kids, it's filthy. Just, I get what it is. It's not about me.
Yeah. Right.
You can't because basically it's not good. Basically, it was geared to you when we were younger, man. And like 82, for me, and my generation. 82, it was geared for me because they had the bands that I dug on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here 30 years later and go, well, you know, these should be playing the old. But no.
But
no. That's your generation. They moved on. That's their deal.
Yeah.
I did get an appreciation of the Academy Awards playing people off after a minute and a half.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
Kanye's
rambling speech. It's like, oy vey.
I flipped over and I'm like, what the hell is this?
And you know what?
Long pauses. Long thoughtful or not thoughtful pauses. What was that about?
I'll tell you the difference between me now and a couple of years ago. Part of it's because of discussions we had on this show with the body shaming. Because I was ready to go with Kim Kardashian popping out of all ends and Rebel Wilson. I was all ready to say snarky things. I'm like, no, leave the plump women alone.
Thank you.
Let that go. Yeah. But I mean, Kim Kardashian's ass looks like it's pregnant. my wife could not believe, because she's popping out from the front and the back. I mean, you know, I think it kind of justifies why Kanye's the way he is, because I think maybe she was on top of him and some oxygen was cut off from his brain. It's the only thing I can think of. The girl is huge.
Just bam, bam.
Yeah, but she's got her nipples going left and right like they want to get out of there while Kanye's talking. It was just them.
They did. Everything was desperate to leave.
And here's the thing. As a parent, you're going to your little girl, you know, you should be like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yes.
But you know, if you say that, they're never going to be like Taylor Swift. They want to. You can't do that. I go, no. They're going to go, I want to be like Miley or Nicki Minaj, who gets an award and then tries to get in a fight with Miley Cyrus. Her boobs are popping out and then thanks her pastor. Really? I put on Facebook, and the pastor's now an atheist.
I saw that.
It's like, you know, pastor and God are looking at each other. How the hell did we get involved with this shit?
Yeah.
Chucker Tom says, you mean how Kardashian looks like Danny DeVito in Batman Returns? Oh, my God.
Is that the penguin?
The penguin. He's all stuffed in that little
penguin. I mean, you know. Yeah. I don't understand. But wear a muumuu like a good pregnant lady. You know what? When your form gets to be a certain size, we no longer have to form fit.
Yes.
I know this.
You don't really want to.
When I'm feeling a little fat, yeah, she's real pregnant.
Yeah, real pregnant.
When I'm feeling a little fatter, you know what? The shirts are going to be a little larger.
Yeah.
We're not talking in that day.
I'm going for the big blouse, not the sausage casing.
It was just terrible.
Because they're probably going, she's showing that she's proud to be pregnant. And she showed, which I guess is
listen,
okay.
Listen, she should
but,
be
you know,
proud. I'm all for it. But I don't have, but MTV doesn't have to keep on assaulting me with it.
Yeah.
I'm happy for it. And the pregnant woman is a beautiful woman.
Get a nice shot and go, oh, that's cool. She prays. She's
doing it. But the thing is, you know, MTV doesn't really show you pregnancy angles. They're trying to make her, like, look all sexy and everything.
Right, right.
But then they just, they, like, she's standing, and you get this profile. It's like, damn! And you're not thinking of that belly. It's just like, oh, my God, I think her first child, Northwest, is in the back of her underpants. Yeah.
That's what her ass is the size of.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's like a kangaroo, but she's carrying wrong.
Listen, I know that. I know.
That's funny.
Listen, for me, there's a little too much big. Sometimes there's just too much butt.
Yeah.
When
I was younger, the whole thing was, you got a fat ass. You got a big butt. To anybody who had less than, like, a tiny little, like, two lollipops stuck together. But now, it's all about people putting in implants to have bigger asses.
Listen,
what?
I think there's a happy medium for what Jared from Subway likes and the movie theater screen at a drive-in. I think there's a happy... I think there's a place in between.
Yes.
Where
it's a happy place there in between.
Yeah, where we can get to that type of derriere. But again, I didn't post that because I don't want to fat shame, so whatevs.
Yeah.
And I don't. I guess it's good that Rebel Wilson wants to try to be sexy, I guess.
That's whatever,
fine.
But
and I'm sure she is to people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't need to hear her talk either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing with these celebrities. I mean, let them do what they do, but don't let them talk.
I did not watch a lot of it. I would, like, flip through, and I'm like, what the? And I'd keep flipping. And I'd come back and go, what? What now?
I just watch, like, for the train wreck, but the Kanye thing.
Oh.
11 minutes of half a thought.
You thought half of a thought was included
it's
in
just
that?
Like, he was just ramble on. And the guy's a good artist.
You think?
Yeah, I like some of his songs and everything.
Oh, I saw him perform, and it was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's just because I'm an old, but I am open to, like, newer music. It's just, not so impressed.
Well, I mean, whatever. I just, you know, he would just, like, start to talk and then stop. And he did raise one good point, though. He's like, yeah, MTV keeps on pushing Taylor Swift is going to be announcing Kanye West for the Vanguard Award. And it worked, because I'm like, well, I got to see how this goes down.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that was smart by MTV.
Yeah, that was.
But enough about that. We're talking about real music now. Back to AC/DC.
Just Girl says, he sucks. Succinct. Thank you.
But she's a white, but, you know, Joe's Girl is a white woman over 40.
We don't know that.
Yes. I don't know her exact age. I wouldn't say her exact age, but I know she's a white woman over 40.
Okay.
And it's not meant to appeal to us.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not. You have to understand that. If you don't understand that, then you're the old codger. You know, when I was a kid, you know.
You kids get off of my lawn.
My daughter goes, oh, you and your rock music. You know, she doesn't want to hear my rock music. I'm like, wait a minute. I listen to more of your music than you do. I got Taylor Swift and Katy Perry ready to go. You know,
he
Britney
says
Spears
that without shame.
No, I like pop music.
I know you do.
I like some of the pop music. I realize the shortcomings of it, but my music had shortcomings of it. I mean, like, the hair metal, there were some great musicians in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but that gets overshadowed by the fact that they look like clowns.
And, yeah. And some of those hair metal bands, sometimes...
We're garbage.
Sometimes I'll listen to, like, XM, and I'll have the classic, the Hair Nation. And sometimes, you know, there's cool stuff, but sometimes I'll listen to a tune by, like, Britney Fox or something like that. And
girl
I'm like,
school.
I am so glad grunge came along and killed you all.
Yeah, but I didn't listen to that then. I didn't listen to, like, Britney Fox then.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening probably maybe the most obscure, not that they were obscure, of the hair bands I was listening, was Kix. Because not everybody was into Kix, although they had the hit "Don't Close Your Eyes."
And Kix was a local band. Kix was
from Maryland.
I used to see him in the clubs. Yeah,
but they were a Baltimore band and everything.
Yeah.
But that was not one of the bands that made a big crossover, but I kind of got into Kix.
Yeah.
But I was into Rat, you know, Poison, Motley Crue. And then everybody went to the hair stuff.
Well, the funny thing is, I was listening to Eddie Trunk's show last night, and the guy calls in, and he was talking with Eddie. He goes, hey, you ever hear a band, Valentine? You know, they got this song, One Way, that was, like, in this movie, and Eddie Trunk's like, I don't know much about it. I heard they had one, so I think they just came along, and then they just disappeared and stuff like that. The lead singer of Valentine's, Hugo Valente, who played in our band.
Oh! So he did disappear.
He was the guy, he's the splitting nice. Image of Steve Perry, and we play, you know, I played with our old band, Quebec, which was a Journey cover band, back when Journey was, like, you know, top of the game and stuff like that. And then he started Valentine, you know, and they were, you know, it seemed like a big deal. But Eddie Trunk,
oh, God. I know. Oh, how they forget.
Yeah. So, back to AC/DC before we segued and showed our age.
Yes.
AC/DC, they have a new album out, Rock or Bust.
Okay.
They opened with a song off the album, Rock or Bust. They played, I want to say, about four songs from the new album.
And what'd you guys think?
Well, I mean, listen. First of all AC/DC songs sound the same.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you hear one, you hear them all.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I like the music and everything.
That I mean, some people think that that's a strong suit of certain bands, that they want...
It is
like,
what it is.
They know what they like, and they want more of that.
But here's my question. Because, you know, a lot of these bands, Van Halen, what Joe just saw, Van Halen, I've seen Aerosmith all the time and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even Aerosmith has new albums. Van Halen isn't touring around a new album right now. But Aerosmith will play... Like, we saw when they had the new album out.
Yeah.
They'll play one or two songs from the new album.
Right.
AC/DC played four, so I wonder... Are they? Because you go, well, they're from the 70s, and we call them a nostalgia act, but they're really not treating their tour like a nostalgia tour.
Right.
So maybe it's not a nostalgia tour.
No, it's not. It's they're going out with the new album. Now, once again, this is not an ad for the Eddie Trunk Show, but I was listening
Apparently
to it.
Apparently it
is. but it pertaining to the topic. Now, a couple of people were calling in and stuff like that, and he was saying, and Eddie was saying himself, he goes, you know, they're a great band. He goes, however, he goes, it was kind of odd that they chose something from the new album to open with.
It was.
Because not people do it from their catalog. They do Back in Black or do something like that and do those tunes later.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool opening segment that they had. So
you're talking about the video screen.
With the video screen and stuff like that. So for them to open up with the news, and I've got the new album. The new album is good, so I kind of knew the tune.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you would have heard, you know, a better, you know, a classics, you know, a more classic tune.
It is an unusual lead-off strategy.
They have such a catalog of
yes.
hits and hits to their fans, even if they weren't huge radio hits. And, they, you know, because of that, you can't play everything. There was a lot of songs I wanted to hear. Which we'll get to why we didn't in a little bit. But part of that was they played new songs. And I get that you want to push you out, but also keep in mind, they're only playing six dates in the United States.
Wow.
They're not playing, maybe in North America.
Yeah,
even.
But they're trying to push the album and get some, because a lot of times you do go to a concert and you'll hear the stuff live and it'll entice you to buy the album.
Yeah, that's true.
So
But the album's been out for a year. The fans know about the album.
It's been out for a while. 6 months. 6 months. 6 months.
Well, either way, it's been out for a while.
Right. But, yeah. You know, it's like with Van Halen. Now, Van Halen, when I went to see them a couple of weeks ago, they opened up, I think You Really Got Me, I think, off the top of my head. But it was an established song.
Yeah.
They did She's the Woman off the new album, but they did it three, four songs in.
Right, which is
the fans
normal.
Going.
Yeah.
You know, to get everybody going. And if you knew this, and that Van Halen album is phenomenal. And when they started playing it too, I'm like, oh, right on. But they didn't bat you over the head with all the new stuff. I mean, they did a lot of the classic stuff.
Here's another pet peeve of mine, which you see in some of these older bands. I've seen it a couple times. Where they have newer members that are in there, whether it be temporary or permanent, whatever the case may be, because of sickness or somebody's in rehab or, you know, somebody's in jail because they tried to kill somebody. Whatever the case may be.
Somebody's dead.
Yeah, you know. But where they have the other members... They don't show them in spotlight. They're just like in the back, like they're just like support guys. Which and in AC/DC's case, there's three members like this.
Oh yeah.
So you basically all you have, and it's not even the only original is Angus.
Right.
Angus is the only original. Brian Johnson's not an original anymore, but he's been around 25 years, so whatever.
Yeah,
Brian
Johnson, the new kid.
Yeah, so whatever. You get that. But the other guys, they're standing by the drum kit. There is no light on them. They have a huge stage. The most they are allowed to move up is halfway up the stage.
Well, the thing about that is that Stevie Young, Malcolm Young, who's been a longtime rhythm guitar player and a key member of the band, has got dementia.
And he's not coming back.
He's not coming
back. And as Joe told us last week, dementia, very creepy.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So who they have playing guitar is Stevie Young, who's actually a couple of years younger than Angus. I mean, he's not a kid himself. But he's been he is a family member. He's been around the band. He's actually been on tour when Malcolm was having some drinking problems years ago.
No. So the drummer was in the band, I want to say, for 5 years, including Razor's Edge, which was probably their last big smash.
And I think that was Chris. I think Chris Slade's playing drums for them.
Wait, he's been in the band. He's got a history with
them. Yeah, so he's got a history with them. The bass player, I forget the bass player, Cliff Williams. Cliff Williams has been there forever. So he's been there a long
time. Yeah, so really all you see on this huge stage is Angus and Brian Johnson, and no acknowledgement of those other guys. Now, one time when I saw Aerosmith, I want to say Whitford was out with a cancer scare. Mm. Was that the one who was out? It's like several years ago.
Mm.
Was it Whitford or Hamilton?
I think it was Hamilton.
All right, Hamilton. Hamilton was out with the cancer scare, and on that one time, they didn't have him highlighted, which kind of annoyed me, too.
Yeah.
Well, they keep their keyboard player. I think Tom, I forget his last name, but the keyboard player, he's always in the back. But, you know,
actually, the last time we saw Aerosmith, they did point to the keyboard player. They did acknowledge him. Remember, we were together.
Yeah, they did.
And I was surprised by that, because they never had before.
They
never had before.
Point out
you know?
The new, I understand the Rolling Stones are trying out this new kid, Ron Wood. I hear he's good. You know, it is silly to me when somebody's been with the band and they do treat them like the new kid. Charger Tom says, yes, Chris Slade. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, Chris Slade's the drummer.
Confirming what Joe said.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know the name.
So, I mean, they had hits with this guy playing drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and Angus says Phil Rudd, who's the other drummer, is not coming back.
He says he is.
So Rudd says he is. Angus begs to differ.
And there was some speculation. Boy. But Chris Slade, you know, it's funny because they say, oh, well, he got it in like a secondhand guy. What you just said, Chris Slade was with them.
Razor's Edge was probably their last big album from the early 90s.
Probably. And the whole thing with AC/DC is it's always been Angus and Brian Johnson, or before that, Bon Scott. You know, so those guys have always been in the background. So it's, you know, it's
I don't dig
new.
That, especially when you have a huge stage. There was a lot of stage to fill in a stadium.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa calls them supporting band members, otherwise known as the DH.
The DH.
I like that. I like that a lot. By the way, Trucker Tom says to Joe that, Joe, you're officially the only person he knows that actually likes the new Van Halen album.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's a great album. It really
Which
is.
Which album is this?
It's,
I didn't even know they had. Is this the one they released like a year or two ago?
I didn't
like,
know yeah, either.
That it, was like from old stuff that they never released?
Yeah, it's called A Different Kind of Truth, but it's really good.
And they released the first single was like awful, but the other stuff on it supposedly really good.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I remember hearing. I don't have it. I haven't heard it, but I remember hearing the single, ugh. But
first one, it's okay. It grows on you, but the rest of the stuff is really, really good.
Wow.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, so there, Trucker Tom.
Okay, guys, have it out. I don't care.
Nah, funny.
So, what do I want to say? So all the songs, as I said, AC/DC songs, it's ball busting hard rock. You're not getting a ballad.
No.
There's no slowdown in what you're doing.
We've got the biggest balls of them all.
They didn't play that song.
They didn't play that.
They didn't?
No. They didn't play Who Made Who.
Really?
That's a great song.
Yeah.
I love that.
A lot of really great songs they didn't play, which kind of annoy me. But, I mean,
they're making room for the new stuff.
There's parts in this concert where I'm going, wow, this is great. I'm so glad I'm here. Then there's other parts going, you know what? This is getting monotonous.
No, I thought it was good. I didn't say
it wasn't good. But considering what we paid, you know, I was like, you know, all right, they all sound the same.
But they do.
But here's the deal.
They play all the hits.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Like, bands, I want to go try to see Motley Crue up in New Haven in October. I want to see these bands. Well, Crue, so they say, this is the last shot. Okay, AC/DC, I don't think they're coming back.
Yeah.
I don't think I think they want to do that.
I think so. These guys still want to keep going.
I know, but, you know, it's...
The
you
body
know,
can only
they're
do what
they're
the
rolling
body
in
can
the
do.
60s.
Yeah, but, but Aerosmith's older than them. And they're still going around like animals.
Yeah, but I...
Brian Johnson was still moving and singing well.
Yeah. You know,
Angus was moving like an animal. He's only 60, which is young compared to what these guys are doing now.
And Van Halen, you know, and with Van Halen, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's years between tours, and who knows what's going to happen after that. So I really wanted to see those guys. So, yeah, it's good to see these bands. And I've been seeing a lot of bands lately. I think I've seen more bands in the past 3 months than I've seen in the past 3 years.
Well, you know, there is sort of that feeling like the older bands that we like. It's like, well, are they going to tour again?
Well,
what if they don't tour again?
That's what they're playing off of.
Well, I am so stoked because Maiden has got a brand new album coming out, double albums coming out on Friday, and I heard a couple of the tracks from it. It kicks ass. And what I'm really happy about is Maiden is going to tour at the beginning of 2016, and I need to go again because if you remember, I had the stomach flu when I went to see him at Jones Beach, and I had to leave after five tunes. Hopefully I will be of good health, and I definitely have to go see them again.
Yeah, this will be your good shot. By the way, Trucker Tom says about the song, the hits, he says maybe they did play it, but because half their songs sound the same, you didn't even notice.
No, I noticed. I noticed. So as Joe was saying, there was considerable lag time in between each song. And I said, well, there's no banter. Nobody's moving around. It's dark on the stage. So they close the main portion of the show before the surprise encore, because you never know when that's going to happen, with a 20-minute Angus guitar solo.
No.
Yes.
No.
Even if it's Eddie Van Halen, I don't need to hear 20 minutes of guitar at these prices.
No.
Well, it's
but it's Eddie Van Halen, so I go, all
right,
it's Eddie.
And I'm going to make the comparison. Mm-hmm. Going back to the Van Halen show, Eddie did about a 10-minute, 12-minute solo, which was incredible.
But this is
Eddie Van Halen.
It's Eddie Van Halen. And it's half the length of Angus's because we timed it.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Nobody else is on stage.
No, this
is how they close the main set.
No.
Yes. So they open with a new song, and they're closing with Angus for 20 minutes. It's too much.
Oh, no, no. Oh,
they
no.
And the thing is, I liked it, okay? However,
I didn't say I didn't like it.
Okay, hear me out.
I wasn't there.
Right, so 20 minutes. That's, in AC/DC terms, that's three more songs.
At least.
That's what I was just going to say.
At least.
That's three more songs.
Yeah.
So that's what I did not like. You
combine that with the amount of time they're taking in between songs.
Yeah.
We could have gotten some more of the songs we want to hear.
And Angus is a phenomenal guitar player. He's not a virtuoso like, Eddie Van Halen is. So, it's Eddie Van Halen. He's a maestro. But, with this, there could have been three more songs they could have
done. Right. Well, that's the thing, is that, if you go to a jam band, you're expecting stretch. You're expecting, you're expecting that they're going to take the bass of the song and they're going to throw it around and it's going to be much longer. And so you're not really, you could have played three more songs. But you have this one guy doing a guitar solo for 20 minutes?
You're AC/DC.
No.
You're not Fish.
I want to hear three more songs, damn it.
Well, when I went to see Billy Joel, the first time I saw Billy Joel, their roadie, longtime roadie, Chainsaw, came out. And ironically, they did You Shook Me All Night Long.
Was that on his birth certificate?
Funny.
He's a biker chap. But
because when you think Billy Joel, you think biker chap.
No, but Chainsaw's been with him for decades.
But where else are you going to go with that name?
So Chainsaw comes out.
H&R Block isn't going to hire you,
Rob
Joe.
Zombie.
So if you know the history of the band, they come out, they do You Shook Me All Night Long with Chainsaw saying, if you're Billy Joel, it's Chainsaw, it's cool,
right
on. But in the back of your mind, it's like, well, they could have done another song, another Billy Joel classic.
Even when I see Aerosmith, and I've said this time and time again, I don't need to hear Joe Perry sing. I get it that we're feeding his ego.
Yes.
But more than one song, and I think he's done more than one on occasion, I don't need.
There are some times where the band is getting self-indulgent.
Yes.
And especially when you know that they just came out with this album. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not so good, but you're filling like large sections of the I know that they have to sell the album, but you're filling seats with your hits.
But you know what?
So you better not be playing six cuts off the new friggin' album.
Well, I mean, we got four cuts off the new album, but a 20-minute guitar solo to end it, and we'll split the difference, a minute and a half in between each song. It's a lot of wasted time in there.
Yeah.
I think when they go out, they get self-indulgent. It's like if you go out with an act, and let's say you do an act sort of like, you're pandering to the lowest common denominator when you work on the road. It's kind of like hacky stuff or something like that.
Absolutely.
It's sort of like that. But there's some cutting-edge stuff you want to do.
Yes.
And you really want to make, and you start doing it, people like, they're not so you have to go back. You really don't want to, You want to expand yourself as an artist.
We don't need you to expand for 20 minutes.
Right.
It's a little expansive, Joe.
But not on the solo. I mean, when they start getting, playing new stuff.
Play the new stuff. Just play more of the hits and don't waste time.
Yeah.
And don't open with the new stuff.
Right.
And
that's very strange.
And it clocked in the set with the encore where they run off. And with the encore. And, with all the cannons going for We Salute You and everything. Mm-hmm. The show, they perform for an hour and 45 minutes.
Well,
that's not a lot.
It's not a lot, but you have to factor in the old dude factor.
Aerosmith is still doing 2 hours.
I know.
Bruce Springsteen is still doing 3+ hours, and he's as old as these guys.
And Van Halen put on a kick-ass show. Like I said, the show was, this AC/DC show was good. And I enjoyed myself. I had a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't blown away.
No.
Yeah.
And the thing about Van Halen, I was blown away. And they didn't do an encore. So you're like, they didn't do, they could have. No, they did play that. Well, they did play. It's not, they didn't do
they
an encore.
They should have brought Sammy out for the encore.
Yeah. but
just Sammy and Michael Anthony. Nobody else would be there.
But they didn't do an encore.
Don't mention Fight Club.
Yeah. They didn't do an encore, but they pretty much did enough stuff where you're like, man, right on. It was a great show.
Yeah.
Know?
Would you see AC/DC again at these prices?
Let's use if they came around next year or if they came around in 5 years.
Both.
I would see him again in 5 years. If they came around, if they came around again.
Brian Johnson will be 72.
If they came around next year.
He's not going to be walking like Sanford and Son. He's going to be in a wheelchair,
yeah,
dude.
I was just, yeah, but then they have the reason for the catwalk.
Yes.
If they came around next year, no. No. Because it'd probably be the same
thing.
You
would see Van Halen next year.
I would see Van Halen next year. Also, I want to see Billy Joel again because Dennis is, you know, I told Dennis, I go, when February rolls around, I want to go in the new year. So deal me in with that. Because Billy Joel, I mean, the show is phenomenal. He changes the set all the time.
Well, he's got enough songs. He's got such a catalog.
Well, so do these other guys.
They do.
Yeah. You know?
Like,
so
I've seen Billy a couple times. Like I said, I don't need to see Billy again. You know, I mean, he's fine. It's good.
Yeah,
I just don't need to see
I just
it.
See,
me neither.
I just see, you know.
You feel the same way?
Yeah, I do.
You
know,
it's
seen
a good time.
It's a good time, but I've seen it.
Yeah. You know what, though? Just the simple reason is he's so good. He's a virtuoso keyboard. I'm a pianist, you know, and he's so good.
Right.
His band is phenomenal. It's just so great.
Let's see.
It's
who would I see again? Obviously, I'm seeing Aerosmith every time. Not only because they're my favorite band. I like the music. They just put on a good show. Would you agree with that? They just put on a high-energy show.
They do. I mean, I don't know as many of the songs as you do. I mean, but I know a good percentage of what they play live.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy it.
And
I
they
mean,
mix it in. They put in old stuff and new stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's really good from beginning to end. Although, if I didn't have earplugs, I would be stone deaf from these shows.
Motley Crue I've seen twice. Don't need to see the Crue again. I get it. A little disappointing. They're good, and Joe should see them if he wants to see
right, because I never saw the Crew.
But,
yeah.
but
you
but
know, I got to check these guys
you
out.
You hear about, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. It's the Crew. And yeah. I came in with those expectations, which are probably part of the problem.
Yeah, sometimes if you're
and I
built
feel
it
that
up.
Kid Rock, if I could get tickets at an affordable price, I would see
that
him again.
That was a good show.
Because they opened for Aerosmith with Run DMC.
And that was a great triple bill.
Yeah, and Kid Rock was great.
Yeah,
oh,
really
you know what
unusual bill,
you know
but great.
You know what ticket I'm trying to see? God, it's going to be tough. There's a place in Huntington called the Paramount. Beautiful play, beautiful theater, probably about 500-800 seater and stuff like that.
Nice.
Judas Priest, two nights in October.
All right. Wow. Okay.
I've seen Poison twice. Believe it or not, I would see them. You saw Poison. You don't like their music, but you have to admit they put on a good show.
I really don't like Poison, and
but that's because of the music. But
right.
As far as if you were a fan of the music. They put on an entertaining show.
Right, and not only that, however, the underdogs of that night, which, frankly, in my opinion, I'm not a Poison fan, but I'm a Def Leppard fan, and both Poison and Def Leppard away was Cheap Trick. One of the most underrated bands out there. They were phenomenal.
Now, I've seen
night.
Cheap Trick three times.
Yeah.
That night, I saw them open for Aerosmith in 2003, and I saw them the night where we went.
Yeah.
And the first two times I saw Cheap Trick, I thought they were great.
Yes.
I agree with you. They probably had the best set.
They had the
on
best
the night.
Set.
But I think Poison was number two. I think Def Leppard had the worst set. That's just my opinion, but whatever. But the last time we saw Cheap Trick,
yeah,
I was not impressed.
No, they phoned it in.
Right? It wasn't
as
good.
Yeah, I was like, what? Really? Oh, I love Cheap Trick. And I was just like, oh, no energy.
Nothing.
It was energy was sucked.
Two out of three times I saw Cheap Trick, thought they were great. Last time, no.
Now, and the thing about it is that as a performer, you could pick up, it's the same as it being a stand-up. An audience could pick up your vibe.
Yeah.
And you could pick up a band.
It might have been
because
they were going through the stuff with Bunny Carlos, their drummer and everything.
And
but Cheap Trick.
Hey, you want to know something? On the way to a gig, I hit traffic, I get stuck, I have a lousy snack. When I get on stage, because the people that are sitting there, they paid to get in, doesn't give a shit how my day was or what
right.
I was going through. They paid to see a show.
But I'll tell you
yeah.
the power of live music. Cheap Trick, though, they've been around forever.
Mm.
Yeah. Never a band I got into. I saw them in 2003. I'm like, wow, they're really good. I started getting some of their albums, some of their older
that's
albums,
what it is.
Because
yep.
I was very impressed with what they did.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
I would still see Cheap Trick again. I'm not paying for them to headline or anything, but I like Cheap Trick.
Mm.
I would see them again.
There have definitely been bands that I saw that I was like, oh my God, got to get this CD.
You want to know something? When Rush came around, I saw Rush, probably about 2 years ago now. Phenomenal show. Extraordinary show. They were at Madison Square Garden several months ago, and I was kind of lazy on getting a ticket. And it was a couple of days before. And, like, you know, the ticket's like $102, and it's like, if you like Rush and Beams, this seat is available. So.
Those are two of your favorite things.
So I'm like, you know.
Are we talking about gym or iron?
No, iron. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go see them because I don't know if they're going to tour again. And if I'm going to have a lasting memory of them, I want it to be that Jones Beach show that I saw 2 years
Basically, we're seeing
ago.
Bands at this point because we don't know if they're going to die.
That's exactly.
Yes.
No,
yes.
No kidding. And that's it. That's
I've seen Tesla twice. Liked him the first time. Wife could not stand him, but she was pregnant and grouchy. I would see
Tesla plus hormonal. Yeah. No,
no.
She also saw Billy Joel and Motley Crue during that period and was not a fan of either of any of it. So you know, we'll
she
blame
saw anybody. She wouldn't have hated them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't see Tesla again. Who do I would like to see White Snake? But the problem is David Coverdale keeps on changing the whole damn lineup. So I don't know if I'm really seeing White Snake or David Coverdale and a bunch of dudes.
But to Coverdale's credit, it's not like he replaces him with some guys.
No, you know, very good point.
You know, they're
good musicians.
You know, yeah, it's like noted dudes.
I'm trying to the Police we saw on the reunion tour again. That's my wife's band, not mine. One of the best concerts I've been to.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, that was
and
good
Sting
singer.
Doesn't move around either. He couldn't. He had to stand and look at the lyrics. He wasn't moving. But I was just blown away. He was. It was ridiculous. But what's the drummer's name?
Stuart Copeland.
Pure energy.
Oh yeah.
Pure, very entertaining. We actually got tickets to see the Police again on that tour, but the wife got sick, so we had to give the tickets away. Mm-hmm. But the Police, you know, if they ever got together again, I would see them. Again, that's not my band. Right. Bon Jovi, it's been since 2009 since I've seen them, probably. Something like that. Maybe a little more recent. I would see Bon Jovi again.
I would see Bon Jovi. I never saw Bon Jovi.
I think you got to see it. If you're a rock fan, you got to see Bon Jovi once.
Yeah, Bon Jovi I saw in Giant Stadium, and that was a great show.
I saw them when they opened up MetLife Stadium, which is what Giant Stadium is now.
Yeah.
And when they opened up The Rock in Newark, that's where I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
The last time they were around, I didn't see him because, like, well, Richie's not in the band. But yeah, I'm over it. It's fine.
I know. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, that's not the same band anymore. Well, like Tom was pointing out that, you know, look, we have to say the Cheap Trick is really down to Robin and Rick with a couple of fillers. And it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I really dug Buddy Carlos. I like this whole shtick, you know, drumming with the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And just you know, I liked them as characters as much as I liked their band and their music.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Well, you speak of characters.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Kiss since 2003, and I was very disappointed when I saw them.
Oh, what happened?
Well, that was when they were co-headlining with Aerosmith, and Kiss went on first. This was at Jones Beach. Only time I've been to Jones Beach. Mm. Do not like that venue.
Oh, God, it's great.
Why don't you like it?
Well, first of all, we were way in the upper deck. Mm-hmm. Fine. But I was not that great acoustically. Kiss cannot go on during the day.
Oh, man.
No,
Kiss
no.
can't go. And there's the whole catwalk, and Kiss isn't allowed on it because that's Stevens and Joe. So it was just like a weird dynamic, even though now they said they had a good time with each other and everything.
I have to differ with you about the acoustics in the place. Every time I've been there, the acoustics are amazing, and there's not a bad seat in the place.
Well, the upper deck ain't so high.
The acoustics in that place is that Mix Magazine rated that venue the toughest venue to mix.
All right.
Because what happens is
the water.
Because what happens is the ocean, and you can hear it if you ever go back there, the ocean takes in the sound and brings out the sound.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the Bale be Crane, you hear it like kind of get lower.
Yeah, I mean,
it's nobody adjusted the volume. The wind is taking the sound out.
But really
difficult. But on a beautiful night, it was it no better place to be. And also, when I went to see Rush, it was a nice summer night, and it was kind of raining, and it kind of, you know, like drizzling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it kind of went into the effect of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But my girl I work with went to go see Chris Brown. There on Sunday.
Oh, that's why you're posting about that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it poured.
He dated Rihanna.
Yeah.
Oh, that Chris Brown.
Yeah,
that
Chris
smacked
Brown.
Around.
Well, what I did was I said that the girls should dress in black and blue.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook. I didn't know it was about somebody going to see that when they went to
the show. It just downpoured so suddenly, people started screaming. And I'm like, yeah, go to a show like that, usually it's gunfire that causes that.
I was at Jones Beach, and all of a sudden, a storm started coming in outside. Actually, I was seeing Steve Winwood. And he just stopped mid-song and went, oh, dear, oh, dear.
You know, oh, dear!
Because there's lightning striking someplace.
That's
so they were
scary.
Like, oh, but he said, instead of oh, shit, he's like, oh, dear. And then they're like, what do we do?
Yeah,
he's not a big cursor. And then all of a sudden they just determined that the storm was going the other direction, started exactly where he left off in the song.
What, did he bring a weather vane on stage?
<That's cool.
laughs>
The rooster says it's going this way.
But we're
all the man, boys.
We're sitting there going, should we run for our lives or wait?
Should.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
You're a real fan. Now, Kiss has been around a bunch of times recently, and I haven't seen them. Just because it's like, you know what, it's half the band. Talk about characters and everything. They dress up other people to play Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley, but it's not the same. That being said, it's been a long time since I see them, so I would probably see Kiss again, because when I saw them on the reunion tour in 1996 at Madison Square Garden, best concert I've been to.
Mm.
Even though they didn't do Beth. They're supposed to close with Peter, Chris, Beth.
Oh.
But Peter had a sore throat.
Oh,
so they just said goodnight. And so, and me and my friend Scott, who Joe went with us to the concert, was like, we're like, wait a minute. You're Kiss. You don't have. You have a million songs you could play. You don't say thank you, good night. You play something else.
You play something else.
Yeah. So.
Please. That's weak.
That was
Tom
weak.
Says, when I said to you what happened about the Kiss show, Tom says, what happened? Gene showed up. I guess he's not a fan.
I don't like Kiss either. I think I like a couple of their songs. I'm not like Kiss Army, but I mean, John.
Let me ask you a question, because you mentioned a couple of their songs. Which album? Because I'm not going to say concert, because you can't really compare concert, because there might be a whole other reason to see it if you've never seen the spectacle.
Yeah.
Whose album? Kiss's Greatest Hits? Barry Manilow's Greatest Hits?
Well, Kiss's Greatest Hits.
Oh, really?
Hey, look.
Nobody has to know.
No.
What about you?
Kiss.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, like I said, I'm not Kiss Army, but I mean, I think Detroit Rock City.
Your Kiss Salvation Army.
Yeah. Detroit Rock City is one of the best rock tunes ever written. It rules. And there's a couple other songs. You know, I do like Beth. I do that song Forever.
That's my and my wife's song.
That's what I saw. That's when I heard that. I go, who is that? And you said it was Kiss. I'm like, holy cow.
So, I'm a romantic.
Yeah. So, but no, the
we had a great band at our wedding.
Yeah.
We had a great band.
You did.
They couldn't play Forever. It's like, really? So we had to play the CD.
No.
You can't do Paul Stanley. Let
me tell you something. They couldn't figure that. Beth, when I was in McClinton, we played up in Boston, came home at 4 in the morning. I had to get up at 7 and learn Beth to play it at the Stone Pony that night. Yeah, you know, so. And
I'd like to hear Mike.
It.
I'd like to hear Mike's version of Beth. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I heard him going.
Wish I would have known.
But I have to go.
Got one of those little gay T-shirts you guys were sporting at the time and gotten right down there.
That was the show.
Oh, boy. Oh, busted.
That's like, why would you wear that? Because I was only had 2 hours of sleep.
Now the truth comes out. Yet on the radio, you tried to lie, and I wouldn't let you.
Because I was in the band, and those was the
you don't, you don't
Jersey
lie
Royalty,
to the fans.
Jersey Royalty was sponsoring the band at the time.
Whatever. Yeah, don't just the sponsor.
Yeah, those but you don't lie to them. All right, speaking of shirts, I mean, this is really what every concert is for me at this point. It's down to the T-shirts. So there was no T-shirts or counterfeit T-shirts. In the parking lot when we walked in. MetLife is really tough, I think, on that, because we didn't get them at Queen.
Well, you and your buddy.
Right.
Was different.
Well, I mean, there's usually people standing along the service road. No?
Right.
That's where I got mine.
Right.
Yeah. I got
Now, inside, I could have bought a Jets Green type jersey, AC/DC. How much do you think that cost?
That was a fortune.
How much do you think that cost?
Now, it's
a jersey type AC/DC shirt.
You know, I've seen upwards of $45.
Keep going.
Mm. No. Mm-hmm. A T-shirt?
A regular shirt. A regular T-shirt was $40. This is a jersey.
A jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, $75.
Keep going. Oh, my God.
$85? I didn't grab my breasts like you just did.
Well,
$85?
I lived through you.
Hold on a second. Oh, my. Hey, that felt good. Let me do that again.
Keep going.
$90?
Keep going.
$100.
Keep going.
No, I refuse. Is it?
Well, you won't buy the shirt.
No, I won't.
$150.
No. Get the fuck out of here.
Believe me, I walked up to the concession stand and I just didn't say anything. I looked at it and I just said, you gotta be fucking shitting me.
Regular shirts were $40.
I can barely
how much
compose
you think
words.
How much do you think a bandana was going for?
Oh, that's sad. $25?
Not $20.
20, but that's
a bandana.
But I overreached because I was expecting highway robbery. $20 for a bandana is still really, really sad.
Well, here's the deal.
That's crazy.
When I went up there, the shirts.
Lisa says it made of gold thread.
That's what I said to Joe. When Joe bought his T-shirt, he's like, I'm like, how much did that cost? He goes, $40. I go, you realize it's made out of cotton, not spun gold, right? That's what I said to him at the show.
Was Rumpelstiltskin making him backstage?
Here's the deal. I'm kind of pathetic in a way where it's like.
Oh, wait a second. Let's not narrow it down to one way, Joe.
Isolate that.
When I went to see Van Halen, I got the cheap shirt outside. And then the shirts that they have are different than what they sell outside.
Yeah.
And they're nicer. So I bought this really cool-looking Van Halen shirt inside. And, you know, so I wound up getting two shirts. And I wound up getting a hat because I want to set my music room
as Davin will call my
man cave.
But my cave, the way Mr. Davin
RC,
over
here. RC's going to call it his living room in his one-bedroom studio apartment.
Right. So basically, when I went to the AC/DC show, I got the shirt at the $10.
Yeah.
Actually, it was $20 from the guy in the parking lot.
Okay.
And then I went in and I saw this really, it's like kind of a tie-dye blue AC/DC shirt.
Okay.
Which really looks cool. I've been wearing it for the past couple of days. You should probably
wash it soon.
I set myself up for it.
Yeah, you did.
My underwear, it's lovely. It's a tie-dye brown and yellow
thing. All right, we get it. But anyway. So anyway, I bought that shirt. Plus, I bought an Angus tie.
Really?
Yeah, I bought one of those $25 Angus
ties. An Angus tie?
Where are you going to wear that?
I wear it to work.
What does it have, like a
the AC/DC logo and stuff like that?
And then Angus on it?
No, like it's got the AC/DC logo and it's like the same tie that
Angus
No,
but Angus he wears makes. A tie on stage, like the schoolboy tie.
Yeah.
I know, but would you wear that to work?
Yeah, sure, why
cool.
not?
Weddings,
yeah.
bar mitzvahs, funerals.
Yeah, that would be neat.
It'd be cool to wear to work. So I got that. Now,
tell you what, when you go to a concert, you're like, I'm going to pick out an outfit. That is your mindset.
Because that, for me, when I go to a concert, that's half of the thing I look forward to. Listen to me. I work hard. I do this show. I do my stand-up. I get the band. I do this. I'm getting in the middle of a divorce. I haven't had a vacation in 13 years. Okay?
I can only imagine the shit you would buy on that.
Really,
Joe, how many Jamaica beer cozies do we need?
I have my Jamaica shot glass on the last time.
The scenic drive up was his vacation.
Yeah. It really was.
You got to understand, I don't take vacation. I really take a break.
It's fine.
So when I go to a concert, I kind of splurge a little bit.
That's fine.
I got to have some fun. I got to smile once in a while. We know you're against that. But anyway.
it does not work well for the show.
I got it. So while I'm there, there's a girl in front of me. Can I try this? No, I don't like that. Can I? Well, how much is that?
What, was she looking for the dressing room like it's Mandy's?
Well, how much is that? I almost looked at her. I said, what is this, fucking Bloomingdale's? Pick a shirt, get the hell out of here. Christ.
I'm trying to rock and you're slowing me down, woman.
I'm sitting there talking with myself. I'm like, be calm. She's 18 years. They're like that. Be cool. You know what? All right, now it's 5 minutes now. All right, enough.
No, that's
I kept, I didn't say anything, but God, I was about a minute and a half away. I just going full stand up.
It was
on
a
her.
Full Angus guitar solo before Joe got to pick out his shirt.
She's sitting there like, shut your face, just great, you know.
Yeah, that she was acting like she was in a boutique.
And meanwhile, I'm looking at the shirt that I like, and I'm and I noticed that they're running low.
Oh, now you start getting the sweats.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm freaking out because stupid here can't make her a goddamn mind, you know? So I'm like, I was starting to really freak out.
Lisa says she thought it was Chico's.
So Joe saunters in shortly before the show, and he's got his counterfeit shirt. And now I'm thinking, you know what? I knew Joe was going to be late because I should have told Joe to buy me a shirt.
Yeah.
And I'll give him the money. I didn't do that. So now I'm kicking myself because if I go to a concert and I don't get a counterfeit shirt, it's really a waste.
Yeah. I know. It's like you didn't have the experience.
It really is.
And then when I bought her off the guy because I saw the guy in the street, like, quickly. When he was, and you know, I'm like, I don't.
Well, Joe, they don't like to be stationary for too long.
I understand.
It was worth getting rear-ended.
But I saw, you know, so I can't sit there and go, well, what about, you know, him? And you know, well, I got a shirt. Why'd you buy me this for? I go, fuck
you.
You know.
I should have told you.
But there was plenty of guys after the show, though.
Well, I'll get into after the show. All right. Here we're going to after the show now, because now the eyes are focusing. I'm going out to the parking lot. I have a good parking spot. It's like, am I going to find this guy? Because I don't have to walk past any service roads. Am I going to find my counterfeit shirt before I get to my car?
Because
I did not get one for Queen, and I'm upset about that. Because how many times is Queen coming around?
Right, not.
Yeah, and now I even like Adam Lambert's new song, Ghost Town.
See?
It's a good song. Have you heard it?
No.
It's a good song. No. Anyway, so we see a person. A heavy black woman was selling shirts. Now, here's what I've determined. You have to now, this is going to be a little racist. But just from my personal experiences, if you're going to buy a counterfeit shirt, it has to be off a black person. The one time I bought it off a white person, the shirt faded, like, completely disintegrated in the first wash.
And what is it that you think about their ethnicity that helps those shirts hold together?
They know quality.
Yeah, they do. Pip.
I have to side with it. They know quality.
They used to pick cotton. Now they're selling cotton.
Oh, damn.
Get it out of the system now.
Meanwhile, this is the show, The Syndicate's Review. Well, back the old drawing board, gang. Let's call TBQ, see if they're all hiring again.
Major investor, Mr. Sharpton, said pass on that show.
Yeah. It's just usually an African-American I buy from, and I've had very good experience.
Look, he's trying to clear his trap right now, this guy.
The Poison Motley Crue shirt was a great-looking shirt. Put it through the wash once, I hope it was nice because it went through the drain, all the ink on it, because I guess they didn't set it. Very pissed off.
Yeah.
So ever since then, although there was, yeah, I bought some bad shirts. But yeah, that was the really worst time. So it's a large black woman, and she's selling them for $20 a piece after
the
show.
She's got them stuffed in the back of her pants.
She goes, she said they're half price of what they're going for inside. And this is where I got to stop you. As Joe alluded to. No. Not the same shirt that's inside. they have other qualities, like on these, like when we saw Aerosmith, Kiss, Run DMC, or when I saw Aerosmith and Motley Crue or Poison, Def Leppard, the counterfeit shirts outside will put all the bands on one shirt.
Yeah,
which I really like. Like I have an Aerosmith Kiss T-shirt, which I get a lot of compliments on because it's really cool.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the concert. You're not getting that inside.
And you know what? When you're outside, you buy the shirt beforehand, and you go inside and you see the shirt. Sometimes you're like, you know, the stuff they got is pretty bone. You know, I bought a cool shirt. Yeah.
Now I have to point out some differences between the shirt that she's selling and the merchandise you get inside, which Joe likes to buy. When you buy a shirt inside, it does not say irregular on the tag.
Alrighty.
What are you
armholes?
Yeah, the guy that's using his balls as a storage room.
We'll get there. We'll get
usually
there.
Usually, you're looking for quality shirts to sell you.
We'll get there.
Balls as a storage room.
When I buy a shirt inside, there's not a 20% chance that when I'm done washing it one time, it's now just a black T-shirt.
True.
And here's another thing. Inside, if we don't buy the shirts, those shirts get packed up. They go to the next concert stop.
Yep.
They go to the website.
Yep.
Those shirts have a shelf life.
They do.
They don't spoil.
Yeah.
You know, the big broad or the people selling it outside, they're not going to Quebec for the next stop.
No.
You know, once the concert's over, it's over, baby.
Yeah.
You either sell it or everybody's getting the same damn Christmas present. I mean, those are your options.
And I'm sure a family in Newark would love an AC/DC. Yeah,
exactly.
What the hell is this? Who are these motherfuckers?
Exactly.
My good duetters with my Aerosmith shirt, whoever in the hell they all are.
Yes.
It's Christmas in Newark.
Yes.
Yeah,
there is shelf life on counterfeit T-shirt that is not on shirt inside. They have to move those things.
Now, as a buyer and a fellow cheapskate, I'm sure that you had to, you know, give her a really on the
price. Did.
Okay.
I let her know. Exactly. And as Joe alluded to, the difference between when Joe bought his shirt inside, he saw it nicely hung. They had it nicely folded underneath. They handed it to Joe, a clean shirt. That
Gave me a bag, too. Joe, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Joe could wear that shirt right away. Now, counterfeit shirt.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The
no,
storage
no.
unit is their pants. That's where the shirts are coming from, either down their pants or the back of their shirt.
Yes.
I mean, you're not wearing that right away. You probably want to put on a couple gloves before you handle said shirt. So there's a difference.
Do you have a box of latex gloves in the car just so you can buy
right.
your counterfeit
yes. and
shirt.
Now you buy that shirt, you ain't wearing it. You wouldn't wear it at gunpoint.
No,
now
no. Know,
well, I gotta wash it.
But
praying to God it makes it out of the fucking wash.
And not just wash it, Joe. Wash yes. it with nothing else.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is getting a solo washing because A, you don't know if the colors are gonna run, and B,
you hope the crabs do.
Yes. 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 So don't tell me it's the half price of the stuff that's inside.
Right.
And
right.
I said, no.
Not a selling point.
That is not true.
Right.
So we tell this large black woman all of this.
Yes.
And we want to buy three shirts.
Okay.
We go, she's selling for $20 a piece. Yeah. How much for three shirts? Same price.
What?
$60. So
no.
My buddy's like, you know what? Enough, Shirley. And we go.
Shirley!
That's funny.
Like the waitress from What's Happening.
I knew you meant. Tom says, where's your sense of adventure? You don't want to wear the ball sweatshirt right away?
Tom, I'm a pussy. There's some things I'm a little squeamish about.
Yeah, and I'm not putting that thing on right away either.
And she likes ball sweat, Tom.
Yeah, so I know, so that's saying something.
And
yeah.
Sometimes with the concert, too, when I would see Billy Joel the second time, I already had a shirt from the first show. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get
it. Was it the same shirt?
It was a different shirt because they had this different shirt, which was really cool. See, that's the thing about the you get what you pay for. Well, you know, you get fucked, but, you know.
Well, maybe you paid for that.
But... But yeah, the other shirt, the second show, the shirt they had, it was really cool with Joel and with the number on his back and stuff like that, the show number. It was really cool, so I got another shirt.
I kind of like it when they have something that is particular to the show that you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's hard to pass up.
They're trying
up.
To sell
like
it
this.
For $150.
Oh, no, no. No.
But my buddy Scott told me that those are the shirts that go are dirt cheap like a couple months later on eBay when they're particular. Like they were
yes.
selling AC/DC shirts that said New Jersey. Those are going to be the dirt cheap ones that you find on eBay.
Right, mm. because only the people that saw that show were
yeah.
interested.
Yeah.
So we found one other gentleman selling shirts. So we got, what did we get? We got three shirts. For $50.
Good, good.
Which is not as cheap as I would have liked it.
But better than Shirley's.
The man was willing to work with me.
Yeah.
I appreciate his sense of duty to work and everything. And I like the shirt. I said, you know, I'm not going to get any more tie-dyed shirts because I got my Aerosmith, which is like completely tie-dyed from the Nine Lives concert and everything. But this was kind of cool because it's kind of like brownish green. It's got like tie-dyed on the sides and everything. It was kind of a cool shirt.
Yeah.
So, is that the one you got?
It's
got like, Angus on the back?
No. No.
Okay.
It's bluish sort of tie-dye, and it's got the dates, the show dates on the back.
Okay. Mine has, of course, the show dates. It has Angus on the back, and on the front it has the rocker bust emblem.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I was very happy with that. And I've washed it once and worn it once, and so far, so good. Very thin material.
Yeah.
Now, he only had 2XL. I'm like, well, this is going to be big on me. But he's like, well.
No, it's not. No.
Well, he's like, well,
and
you know
not,
it'll
and
shrink.
Not, right,
it'll
and shrink. That's why, where I was going with that. I wasn't
yeah.
making, you know, I wasn't
like,
making
well, it's not really
I
a great sales
I
pitch, you know.
I'm shaming you. But no, that's 2XL has shrunk down to a medium and one wash.
But I wash
it. I too.
I wash it in cold, and I didn't put it through the dryer yet. Yeah. So I just, but yeah, I'm sure it'll shrink.
You know what was the worst feeling? Like when you had your band shirts, like you have like the old bands you were in, you know. You get your shirts, go over to your buddy's house, he's using it as an oil rag. Really?
Well, the old concert shirts, you didn't even have to go to concerts to get them. The sizes are much different.
Very.
A large today is much larger than a large back
oh,
in the
yeah,
day.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, they're... What is that called? That's something like ego sizing or something like that, where they'll call it one size, but it's like, dude, that's much bigger than
I
that.
I think the dress barn lives by that.
Yeah, they do. Yes, yes, yes. Just to make you feel a little bit better.
You know, it's funny because I got in my basement. I'll probably start bumping into the stuff as I clean out the house. But I have my old concert T-shirts. In one of my containers down in the basement. I got to see what I got.
I still wear that stuff.
Yeah.
But you could tell where you could tell how small the shirt. Like, I got my Def Leppard Hysteria, the concert shirt, from 1988.
Right.
I still have that shirt. Still in good condition, a little faded and everything. But I got to be, I gotta be at one of my thinner periods before I can even entertain wearing that. And I have. Otherwise, that shirt's going underneath with, like, a long-sleeve shirt over it. Like, open it.
You know,
I got, like, a Van Halen Monsters of Rock shirt. That I've worn in recent years, but other times go, I'm a little puffy. I shouldn't.
Van Halen Monsters of Rock shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
What condition is it in?
It's in good condition. It's probably worth
it. It probably is. That was a major show.
I got like an old Aerosmith Walk This Way shirt and everything. But the things, they shrink and everything.
Oh, yeah. And we grow.
That's probably the biggest thing. But like an 1987 permanent vacation Aerosmith shirt.
Neat.
Oddly enough, My Miami Sound Machine T-shirt still fits.
Because you've been doing that conga.
I certainly have.
I got a cool shirt. I got a Mama Kin shirt because we played at Mama Kin.
Oh, the
Rock Up. Yeah, well, Rock Up. We were up in Boston and we played at Mama Kin, which was used. I don't know if it's still there. I don't think it
is. No, it's not.
But it used to be right across the street from Fenway.
Yeah, was Aerosmith.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah. All right, let's take our first break because there's very good news. Very, very good news. They might have found the missing Nazi gold train.
Unbelievable.
Yes, and I think we're going to offend some people right after that. So
definitely stay tuned.
So it's another night at the office.
It's another
Come
night.
On back and join us.
We'll be back in just a few short minutes.
JohnRogueRadio.com, TuneIn.com, HawkRadio.net. You can also listen to replays of the show every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on RainRockRadio.com and TalkSuperStation.com on Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. Platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. Also, you can download the TuneIn app on your Apple or Android device and search for Davin's Den. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm, TuneIn.com. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.